From KMUW Wichita.
From Toronto, Ontario.
And from Armenia, Spain.
This is You're Saying It Wrong. Let's talk words. Let's not talk words, or let's talk not words. Grunts, groans, whoops, and hollers, we've got it all. I'm Fletcher Powell, host and producer at KMUW in Wichita, Kansas, and joining me as they do each week, language experts and New York Times best-selling authors Kathy Petras and Ross Petras. Hi, Kathy. Hi, Ross. Quickly, before we do anything else, I want to offer some fun with spell check. I was editing something the other day, and the word glimpse was in there. We know the word glimpse. You might glimpse something with your eyes. G-L-I-M-P-S-E. It got flagged by spell check, and here are the options it gave me for possible other words to use. The first one is limose, L-I-M-O-S-E, which apparently, if you look in the right dictionary, means it has something to do with mud or something muddy.
From Latin, yeah. Okay. Go on.
Maybe these are all Latin because, oh boy. All right, the next one is like glimpezi or glimpe, G-L apostrophe I-M-P-E-S-E.
G-L apostrophe I-M-P.
Yeah, G-L apostrophe I-M-P-E-S-E. Glimpes, glimpezi.
God, glimpeze. What is that? I don't know what that one is. Go on, Fletcher.
Well, and the last one it offers is glimpose or glimpose. G-L apostrophe I-M-P-O-S-E.
Oh, wait a minute. I bet we're doing Italian. Because the G-L in Italian is the,
G-L impose is a traditional Italian contraction of G-L-I to him to it and impose. It translates to he, she imposed on him.
Yeah, no, because when you said the G-L, do you have a Latin, I'm just wondering if you have a Latin spell check for some reason. Italian spell check.
Italian must have sneaked in there somehow. It didn't flag every other word in that paper that I was editing.
My husband was getting it in his Gmail. They started saying, like, well, in Zulu, you really should put it this way. I swear to God, Zulu. And he was like, what? You know? And they tried to correct him. Yeah.
That's so interesting because I had, looking up a couple of things yesterday, I got Hungarian. I wonder if there's something weird going on in the net. But I got, like, a Hungarian answer. I was looking up some person. I got it all in Hungarian, who the person was. But it wasn't like a Hungarian person. It was someone in English.
The matrix is slipping, people.
I think so.
I think AI is slipping is what's happening. They keep putting that into our email and everything else. And anyway. Ugh. Is ugh a nonverbal vocalization?
Yes, it is. Fletcher, very good.
Yes, it is.
And that's what we're going to talk about. Ugh and other yucky words, okay?
Oh, wow. But first, we got another. People are out to get us, Ross. What the heck's going on?
What's going on here?
It was on Facebook. We got somebody writing and said, ironic to have an account pointing out other people's typos when your registered name will always shout, "You're saying it wrong," when the world knows it should read, "You're saying it incorrectly."
We have talked about this at length. Wrong is what? Fletcher, do you know what wrong is in this case?
In this case, I'm going to guess, and I learned this from this show, wrong is a flat adverb.
You got
it.
You got it.
I love flat adverbs.
Yep.
This is one of my favorite things that I've learned here.
Yep. It's a flat adverb, and it's completely correct. And we're going to use Fowler's Modern English Usage as basically a authoritative source if you don't trust us. Adverbial wrong tends to be the choice when the sense required is in a direction different from the right or true one. Astray, quote, he'll lead you wrong if you don't understand them, or mistakenly, erroneously. In spite of her education, she guessed wrong, which I think sums up, I think that pretty much sums up our question there.
I just love the fact, and I don't think we talked about this when we first talked about flat adverbs, and if we did, I don't remember it, that the term was coined in 1871, and they were viewed as, I just love this, rustic and poetic.
Oh, nice.
Because they were archaic. they don't seem rustic, I guess because it doesn't have a fancy L-Y.
Yeah.
Well, it's rustic.
That's the thing, right? Flat adverbs don't have to have the L-Y on the end. We assume adverbs have an L-Y quickly or whatever.
Correct.
In these cases, you don't need the L-Y.
No, it's perfectly correct not to have it.
Although I just saw here that there was a survey and they found in the 60s, they found that 42% thought you should have the L-Y in the examples they gave. But in the 2010s, it went up to 75%.
Yeah, that's basically what we learn.
Mm-hmm.
They also have that Weird Al Yankovic show. I think we talked about it. He has like a little video where he jumps out of the car and there's a go slow sign.
Oh,
he jumps
right,
out of the car right. and adds an L-Y. Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah.
Which is actually not, he defaced the sign for no good grammatical reason. No defense there. So
I want to throw in again, because this is yet another grammar controversy, as Ross has been saying to irritate me.
British pronunciation.
But it's another grammar controversy. And so send him in, because we want to hear other people, what drives you crazy, what doesn't drive you crazy on either side of the fence.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. We want to get controversial. Okay.
So now we're going to move into meh, do, duh, and other non-speech vocalizations. Basically, we're talking here about things that aren't quite words. And we got a listener question from Steph from Jersey City.
Cool.
I use the word meh fairly often. Yes, my life is well meh.
Aww.
And I was curious. Sorry, Steph. Get going.
Really, Steph?
You're nice and near New York City. You can have a lot of fun. And I was curious to see. We used to live in Hoboken, so we know. And I was curious to see if you knew its roots. I know it was on The Simpsons, but is that where it began?
Oh, wow. I didn't know it was on The Simpsons, meh, in particular. It seems like it's really blown up over the last 15 or 20 years.
I'd say so.
Yeah, I have no idea the origin, though.
We're going to ask to guess here. Can you pick the decade? We're going to be very kind. In which meh originated? 1990s, 2000s, or 1920s?
Come on. The 2000s is what I would have guessed if you hadn't given me any options, so I'm going to stick with that. We should say, just in case anybody is not on the internet, that meh is sort of like blah. Like, it's just, it's fine, whatever.
Yeah, it's like you're in dirt, it's bored. Eh.
Yeah, meh.
Meh. How you doing? Meh.
So are you going to tell me it's the 1920s?
Yep,
yes.
We are. And we're going to ask you one question here. Okay, the 1920s, let's try to think. What language, it didn't come from English, we think.
Mm.
No one's sure, but we think it might have come from another language. Can you guess the language it came from?
French.
Close, Yiddish.
Yiddish. I mean, Yiddish is what I would have guessed. The only thing with French is that, I know there's a word may, so I thought maybe M-A-I-S in French turned into meh in
Oh, that's
in
interesting. Yeah.
But Yiddish, I mean, 1920s and a word like this, yeah, Yiddish seems just right.
Mm-hmm. It got traced back to a 1928 Yiddish English Hebrew dictionary. The definitions for meh were be it as it may and so-so as an adjective, so-so.
Mm, okay.
And then he also had it as a bleeding interjection, which fascinates me, like bah, so you go, meh.
Meh.
Like, meh.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny. I mean, it's hard to really, we can't definitely say it, but it really feels Yiddish to me.
Yeah.
It oh, God,
really
yeah.
does. It feels Yiddish New York City. 1920, it just screams that to me.
Steph, you were right about The Simpsons. That's what really popularized it. It was in 1994, they say that there was a store clerk said meh, huh. And then Lisa Simpson spelled it out loud. And I remember when they were going to like Krusty Land or something.
Yeah.
They had the T-shirts that said meh, M-E-H, yeah. Period. Oh, and when the dad, Homer, was saying like, do you want to go there? And they said meh.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So I really remember The Simpsons doing
But in terms of popular culture, they also have traced it to Melrose Place, 1992.
Melrose Place?
Yes. They did. There is another theme here that says, prior to the 1994 episode of The Simpsons, it was in 1992 in Melrose Place. We'll never get we're never going to know, but that's another theory as well.
My sister used to be a Melrose Place expert, and so I'll ask her if she remembers Meh on Melrose Place.
Ask her. I'd be really curious on that.
Okay. The next one is Duh.
Duh.
Duh first appeared in the 1800s, the 1960s, or the 1990s.
We should first emphasize the spelling. It's D-U-H.
Right.
Duh.
This is, like, duh.
This is,
duh.
Like, this is like either duh, meaning, yeah, everybody knows that, or duh, meaning I'm a big dum-dum. Right, it can mean either thing. Definitely before the 1990s, because I remember this when I was a kid in the 1980s. No, 1960s doesn't seem right either. So let's go all the way back into the 1800s.
This is really interesting, because the answer we got was 1960s, and I instantly thought of I'm not sure they still have it, but Moose in the Archies, in Archie Comics, going duh like that because he was a really dumb football player, but. The other problem is I was watching, it was Pat and Mike, do you know the, it was on TCM, Pat and Mike with Spencer
Catherine
Tracy
Hepburn, yeah.
And Catherine Hepburn. And there's a boxer in there. And for the life of me, I was thinking about it. He was going, duh, I don't really know how to do anything except for fight.
That seems like something that was in Looney Tunes, too.
I was just going to say that. I just saw that. OED has Merry Melodies from 1943. They said, duh, he can't outsmart me because I'm a moron.
It
was Bugs Bunny with Jack Wabbit.
So we gave the 1960s here per Merriam-Webster, but I think they're wrong.
Yeah.
I think it's earlier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree.
And Fletcher may be, for all we know, Fletcher may be right. It may be the 1800s, I guess. You know, we don't have Moose or Bugs Bunny then, but maybe with other, you know, other forms of people saying the whatever.
Yeah. It's funny that it kind of changed from I'm a big dum-dum to, yeah, everybody knows that.
It
came sort of snarky because you go like, well, duh.
Right.
You know, like, why are you going to, you know, like, are you going to do that? Duh, of course.
Yeah.
That's an interesting change in etymology. I think that's really interesting. Yeah, because we have two different words in effect then.
Yeah.
You do.
Because basically, duh becomes smart.
Right.
It's not the dumb boxer now or the dumb football player. Now it's the smart guy gang. Obviously, I know that. You're right.
Yeah.
Because I'm smarter than you. I'm not a, not all
you're
boxers
not going,
are probably.
Duh.
Yeah.
Well, even the pronunciation, though, is slightly different. So you don't go, because it's like one is duh, and the other is like duh. You know, you do the upswing at the end, the inflection at the end. You do.
Yeah. Now, why don't you read the next one? Because you're doing a much better pronunciation of this one.
I'm not. Duh. I can't do it.
Duh.
Duh.
Yeah.
Which
D apostrophe OH.
Right, speaking
Fletcher,
of the Simpsons,
you're going to get this instantly.
Okay.
1980s, 1920s, or 1950s?
Well, we always associate this with Homer Simpson, right?
Yeah.
Well, this is another sort of cheat one. I remember this from my ex-husband. It's Homer Simpson.
Yeah.
So they're saying it's from the 80s. But Dan Castellanato as Homer was imitating James Finlayson, who was in Laurel and Hardy, who would do this drawn out in the films.
Yeah, but I've heard that, and I actually don't think that's fine that he's imitating it. But
that's the inspiration only. I agree.
Yeah, it's the inspiration. It's not the real. I mean, the word does come, I think, from the 1980s in Homer Simpson.
Yeah.
Because the other one, I know that, and it doesn't. It's different. It sounds different.
I love the fact that it was originally written into the scripts as annoyed grunt.
right. Yeah.
Okay, moving along. We're going to go quickly with these now. We have UGH.
Ugh.
1700s, 1800s, or 1900s.
I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt. Is that how you say it, Ross? I say
ugh. Oh, an ugh. Like that.
Oh, I say ugh.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I go ugh.
You got a little. You got a little.
I have a soft sort of Scottish race. Little ugh.
Guttural bit there at the end. I'm definitely.
Yeah,
ugh.
I do actually.
Yeah. Ugh.
Okay, when did it come?
What were my options again? Not that this matters much, but what were they?
17, 18, or 1900s?
Ugh is from the 1800s.
Nope, 1700s.
1700s. Ugh.
But that, I mean, that these right there, I mean,
well,
that
I mean,
one,
sure,
I think
they're
is
all,
just...
They're all sounds, I mean, they're just sounds, right? So this is just a matter of when somebody wrote down an approximation of how to spell that sound.
The sound, according to the dictionaries, is imitative of the sound of a cough. So it depends. You guys apparently cough like,
no, it first was a cough. Then that's it what I'm saying.
I know that. But I'm saying I'm referring back to the original. You know me, I like the original.
You're a purist.
Word here. Yes.
Okay, I'm going to go to yuck now.
Wait. Let's talk about Ugg for a second. Have you guys noticed, and I am definitely part of this, and I don't think it's a problem. I'm setting it up to sound like it's a problem, but it's not. Have you noticed how Ugg has also taken on the meaning of like, oh yeah, very much? Like, if I think something is really, 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 really cute, I might write, Ugg, it's so cute.
Yeah, that's true.
Have you noticed that?
You're right.
And it's not just, it's not one UGH. It's more like UGGGGGHHHHH.
Yeah.
Although, we didn't do ARG, A-A-R-G-H, ARG.
No.
And that's when I always use that, actually. I'll write it out. I always go like, oh my God, we have to do this again? ARG, A-A-R-G-H.
That's when you're mad. Like, what if something's different?
Just thinking though, but I wonder if it's a derivation though of UGG in the sense of too much something.
ARG. Well, this is not necessarily like too much. Like, if I think something's like really, really cute, I mean it sincerely, I might write.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I might write, Ugh, it's so cute.
It's like, oh my god.
I would not write ARG in that case. No, ARG would be too much of something.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just looked up ARG, and it is frustration. The earliest recording in written English, 1800s. But as an actual English word, it's the ancient Germanic root meaning cowardly.
Oh, really?
ARG. This is just on my first glance, so I don't swear by it. E-A-R-G, meaning cowardly, weak, or timid.
But is that the etymology of ARG then? Is that interesting?
No, the ARG, I think the ARG we're using is
a different thing. Yeah.
And it's an onomatopoeia. Like ARG. Yeah.
You say onomatopoeia? I say onomatopoeia.
I should say onomatopoeia. I said onomatopoeia incorrectly. I'm saying it incorrectly.
Well, that was a yucky pronunciation. Yuck.
Yuck.
Let's go.
I love yuck. 1960s, 1990s,
1860s, for sure.
Wrong.
Oh, man.
Yuck. 1960s.
This comes
from, they think it may come from Canada, too.
Oh.
Newfoundland. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To vomit.
Yuck. It was like a verb to yuck?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. That's what they're saying. And then it became U.S. slang. But the there's a U.S. slang yuck despised person from 1942. So it could come from that as well, or the provincial English yuck, the itch, mange, or scabies, or whatever. Scabies, or whatever it is. But I don't know. I'm actually wondering, the 1942, though, to me, might mean U.S. soldiers in Canada, you know, transfer. I don't know.
But then you also had, because there was an alternative yuck, the yucking it up, which I have often seen from the Yiddish spelled Y-U-K without the C.
Right, yeah. I thought of that too, and then remembered that it was spelled differently. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ross, can you say Newfoundland again?
Yeah, I was like a little
Newfoundland.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think obviously Ross is a lot closer than either of us.
And I've heard a bunch of different pronunciations of that.
Yeah.
I've been corrected, and I have a not a very good ear for pronunciation anyway, and I've been corrected. And then I've listened carefully, and then I've heard other people say Newfoundland, Newfoundland.
Because I always hear Newfoundland, more like of a Finn.
Newfoundland I hear more with Americans saying it, but I'm going to be corrected immediately by someone. But a friend of mine who's from there says Newfoundland, like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she's from there, so.
That's why I wanted you to say it again, is because Americans often say Newfoundland. But I understand that is not correct.
And she says Newfoundland, like that.
Yeah.
So I try to like pronounce it like she does, but I'm sure now I'm going to get like 20 people from there saying, no, it's not that.
Gosh, I wish I could find, there's a video I saw or at least heard one time of the Newfoundland accent, and it is wild.
It's really good. I like the accent.
Yeah,
it's
super,
but there's a store. There's a Newfoundland store here that sells like various foods from there, and we go there occasionally to buy food from there. And that guy sounds to me more like, Next time I go, I'll make sure to get
him. Yeah, I'm curious, because you'll throw it back, Ross? Yeah.
I will tape him. Yeah. I will put him on my phone and tape him and bring it back.
Because, no, I had the same tape, Fletcher. I heard it, and I was like,
yeah.
But you live in Canada, so...
No, I basically paused before saying, and I was actually looking at it, and I was thinking, oh, please don't have this to be my turn to talk. So,
yeah. You should have just said a province.
I know, I should have said a northern province, on the Atlantic province. No, I much prefer, there's a common term here for all of those provinces, the Maritimes. And I always like defer to like that. Oh, you're from the Maritimes, and just right. leave it. And they could be from, you know, Prince Edward Island, which is PEI, which is fine.
I can say that.
Yeah, that I could do. And you go, oh, you're from up there near Labrador, aren't you? Oh. So whatever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's our next one.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Are you going to give me options, or should I just guess?
No, we're going to tell you. Okay. We're going to give you three options that are all
actually. Don't give them three options. Let's have them guess this one.
Okay.
Okay.
You're
mean, Ross.
1930s.
Okay. Guess again, Fletcher.
Okay. 1840s.
We're going to be Socratic here. Guess again.
What? No, you got to tell me now.
1510s.
Wow.
Apparently, it's a Scottish natural expression of amazement. And the Dictionary of American Slang says, quote, this old interjection had a new popularity in the early 1900s and again during the 1960s and later.
Hmm.
I love the fact that the reason they're saying 1513 is the earliest recorded usage of wow, and I wish I knew where it was, is in Virgil's Aeneid by Scottish poet Gavin Douglas. Do you know where it is?
I almost gagged. I'm going to look for that. I almost gagged because Virgil, I mean, the Aeneid, Aeneas the hero, is like this really pious sort of stoic Roman roaming around saying, I must obey the gods. Having him say wow, I think really kills the gravity
wow
of the
gods.
I know. I was horrified when I read that. I know. I want to add one funny thing about Kathy. I'm sorry if it was just when we were kids, we carried around Nietzsche's to power.
I was
as bad as you. It was a really thick book by Nietzsche, which was basically impenetrable to both of us, I think. But anyway, on Kathy's copy of the book, did you ever read more than two pages, Kathy? Just
no, I think I read about five pages.
Okay, you beat me on that one. But we were both like philosophes, etc. And one of that we had, there was a phrase, it was like, I think it was something like, those who do not do evil are weak or something.
No, it was the good man is weak. He is weak because he does not have the strength to be evil.
And that was it. Okay, you remember it. In the margin, Kath wrote, wow, with an exclamation I still love
oh,
that.
Oh, God, I'm so humiliated. I was 16.
But to be fair, when you wrote that, I thought that you were, like, really heavy reading, like, really... Because we both liked that quote now that I remember it.
Yeah, we did.
We both were not very evil, but whatever. So.
Yes, we were, Ross. Because we were strong. Oh, how humiliating. Thank you, Ross.
Okay, and the last one we can say... Whew, we're over with this. Okay, W-H-E-W,
uh-huh,
Fletcher.
Uh-huh.
1920s, 1850s, or 1400s?
Phew. What does that also count as phew? I wonder when phew came in, P-H-E-W. Let's go all the way back to the 1400s.
Very good.
I got one?
Very good.
I finally got one?
Yes, you did. I'm looking up phew right now.
1600s for phew. I just looked it up.
Phew was the 1600s, yeah.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
First recorded use English poet. All these poets started that. Yeah, 1500s, 1400s, and it was initially spelled Q-U-H-E-W-E. Does that seem correct to you, Ross?
Q-U-H-E-W-E, I guess.
It was supposed to be like a whistle.
It makes you whistle. Try it.
I can't whistle.
No, you never could.
No, I tried. Remember, I'm a bridge over the river Kwai for ages.
Oh, I know. I remember doing it as a kid. Yeah.
But yeah, the earliest OED, earliest evidence for whew written was in Andrew of Winton, prior of St. Serfs, Lochleven, and historian.
Lochleven.
What are, thank you, Ross. What I want to know, though, like, I'm thinking that, like, you've got Scottish poet Gavin Douglas going, wow, in Virgil. Ugh, you have this Andrew of Winton going, whew, in some
Scots.
Like, yeah, I mean, yeah, what are they talking about? I don't get it.
Are you guys familiar with OPE? Do you know this? People in the Midwest, I don't really believe that it's purely a Midwest thing, but people in the Midwest.
Oh, you mean like the interjection?
Yeah.
OPE, whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought it was oopie more, like oops more.
Right.
I didn't know that.
That's the thing. It is
ope.
When you see OPE, you think ope, which is which is a little more definite than I think the sound actually is. And so I think people outside of the Midwest see that and don't exactly realize what it is. It's more like, let's say you slightly bump into somebody and you say, oh.
Ah, yeah. So it's like you're clipping.
I know that one.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know. I'm just going to
squeeze past you there. That's a Midwest thing.
I'm going to scooch past you or something like that. I think I actually say it.
Yeah, see? This is the thing. I think a lot more people say it than they realize.
I say oops. I'm an oopser.
Oops.
I'll do oops.
No, I'm going to go oops. Sorry about
it's
that.
It's just like,
oop, let me kind
oop.
Of, yeah.
Oop.
Well,
oh, right.
I say more oop, though, I think. Oop.
I gotta say, talking about these, what is the technical term, which we didn't explain completely, non-speech vocalizations, is I'm in Spain, and I realize that my vocalizations are not Spanish at all.
Oh,
no.
So I try, and it kind of freaks me out. Like, I try to, I almost bump into somebody, and I mean, I do the perdona and all that stuff, but I mean, automatically I go oops, or like, ow, or something.
Yeah.
And people don't say that.
No.
Oh, that's fascinating. Right, because we don't really, we think about those things as just sounds that we make rather than part of the language that we've picked up.
They're part of the language. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I don't know when it suddenly clicked, but it was like, because I'm a clod. So Ross, you know that. I'm always bumping into somebody or something. And I'm saying things like oops a lot, and people are just sort of looking at me going, okay.
Yeah, what are you doing? Yeah. Also, the understanding of it, because I remember in Egypt, people would always go, they would go, like, for no. You click your tongue. Like,
uh-huh.
Like, where are you going? And they'll go like that. Although, oddly enough, one of our Greek grandmothers did that, if you remember, Kath. Yeah, Leopold would do that.
Did she?
Don't
remember.
Yeah. I remember that distinctly. But I wonder if that's, I mean, I guess she was from southern Greece, so maybe, you know, whatever, maybe it's like a Mediterranean thing. But Kathy's point is well taken. People probably don't understand us when we're doing common American, I mean, they don't understand necessarily all of English in that sense.
Right.
But not understanding meh, ugh, yuck. It's
it's weird, isn't it?
Oops. Yeah, oops probably to
them
means something.
Oops really gets me, because I don't even know where oops came from.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest with you, Ross is going to look it up and tell me. But I mean, because I say it constantly, because as I said, I bump into doors, I bump into everything. I bump into people and I go, oops. And then I have to go like, oh, pardon, you know.
Ups-a-daisy.
Oops,
widely considered
oopsie-daisy?
Widely considered an alteration, I'm not really sure about this, of the much older nursery phrase ups-a-daisy or ups-a-daisy.
Man,
possibly.
I can see that, because you're playing with your little baby, you're going, oops.
Yeah, but I'm also interested in your saying oops, Kathy, because when Fletcher brought up oop, I say oop, I just realized.
You obviously have some sort of Midwestern roots that I don't have. I have no idea what Mom was doing for those years.
You're Saying It Wrong is part of the NPR network and is produced in the studios of KMUW in Wichita, Kansas by me, Fletcher Powell. Kathy Petras records from her home in Armilla, Spain. Ross Petras from his home in Toronto, Ontario in Canada. Torin Anderson composed our theme music. Our digital team is Beth Golay and Carly Cooper. Carly Cooper is also our video editor. You can subscribe to our channel on YouTube. You can find all of our past episodes by subscribing to the You're Saying It Wrong podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting us at kmuw.org. If you have a question for Kathy and Ross, if you'd like to suggest a topic or you just want to reach out, you can email me at powell@kmuw.org. or email them at kandrpetras@gmail.com. You can also record a voice memo of yourself asking your question. You might get your voice heard on air. Or you can download the KMUW app and press the Talk to Us button. You can find Kathy and Ross's books pretty much anywhere you get books, and a handful of them are also available on audiobook, read by the authors themselves. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.